continuing in the book of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. Take no thought. You know, a lot of translations will translate this, don't worry, don't be anxious. But really, it means more than that. It includes don't be worried, don't have anxiety. It includes that, but it's really, you know, don't be distracted. Don't be disquieted. And so, you know, we need to kind of remember that. That's why I titled it Take No Thought, because it says take no thought. Because you can not worry about something, but you can definitely not have peace. You could be not worried, but still have no peace about it. You know, you could be saying, oh, God's got this, but, you know, you're all in a turmoil and God doesn't want you to be in a turmoil. And so Jesus has just declared that we must choose one master or another. He said, no man can serve two masters. You're going to hate one, love the other, hold the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being gain of any sort of gain. And you can't serve both. You can't be a slave to both. And he says, therefore, in verse 25, he says, therefore, I say to you, take no thought. And our tendency as human beings with a sin nature, you know, with the frailties and the issues and the flaws that we have, our tendency is to listen to our fears over our faith. You know, we're afraid of this or afraid of that. And Jesus is reminding us in this passage, the rest of this chapter, what we call chapter 6. He's reminding us of the love and care that our Heavenly Father has for us and the promises He makes to us. And the therefore, when He says therefore, you know, Jesus is teaching those who have chosen to serve God. Because if you haven't chosen to serve God, if you haven't made the Lord your God, your master, and you're choosing the treasures of this world, it's one or the other. If you're choosing God, these verses matter to you. If you haven't, these verses won't apply to you because they only work for those that have sold out to the Lord. It's the only way you can do it. And so that's why he says, therefore. And so in verse 25, he says, therefore, take no thought for your life, for your flesh, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Think about that. Think about that statement. Take no thought for your life. Your life. You know, one of the strongest, and some people will argue the only instinct we have, because animals have instincts for different things, we, being human, we make decisions more than animals do. Animals have instincts. I mean, why does a husky just naturally pull? You know, you hook a husky. We owned a husky, a Siberian husky. You put that dog in a harness and it's pulling you. Just, you don't have to train it. It just does it. But when we do something, we decide to do it. But some people would argue that the only instinct humans have is self-preservation. You know, we don't want to die. And Jesus says, take no thought for your life. Take no thought for your life. Life is our greatest concern. A man will give everything for his life. But Jesus said, take no thought for your life. And, you know, and remember the bigger picture. Don't be distracted by your life. You know, it's not just the worries of your life. You know, what do you got going on in your life that is distracting you from what God would have you do? Take no thought for your life. And then he gets down to just the basics of life. He says, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear. I mean, that's about as basic as it gets, right? Those are like the first things we do, most people do in the morning, right? You wake up, you put something on, you get something to eat. I mean, that's just what we do. And then, you know, and obviously some of us eat more than others. But all that to say, we get up, we get dressed, we eat, and we drink. And you know, we thirst and all that. And he says, he's saying, don't be distracted by your life, what you eat, what you drink, nor yet for your body, what you put on. Is not life more than meat or food? Is not the body more than raiment? Look at this. My times are in your hand. This is the psalmist speaking to God. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Your times are in your hand. Take no thought for your life. Do you understand that your life is in God's hand? Take no thought for your life. You understand that life is more than food and clothes? Food and clothes come from the earth. Do you get that? Life comes from God. Life comes from God. And Jesus is reminding us, your life came from God. The other stuff, it comes from the earth, which came from God. But God directly gave us life. He had to breathe into Adam and make him alive. And so started the process. He had to have breathed into Eve to make her alive. And then from that life that he created came all human life. From then on. It came from God. Without God, we would have no life. But we go out and we earn money and we buy food and we buy clothes and some people make, I know Emma, you know, she does her thing on Thursday. She can make hats and stuff and, you know, and Abby's there usually and Sue. But, you know, we can do all that. We can go out and plant stuff. But you can't give yourself life. And do you understand your days are in God's hands? And it's a good hand. You know, God is good all the time, right? That's what we say here. God is good all the time. Well, you know what? Even when someone passes away, God is good. He's still good. And all of us have that day when we will pass away. He's still good. So why are we so distracted? You know, Jesus is putting some things. Life is more than food. Life is from God. Your body was from God. You didn't create your own body. And you know what? And we'd say, well, my parents... No, your parents didn't create your body either. God used them to do what he intended to do, create you, a unique, valuable person that has purpose and worth. Remember that. But Jesus says, take no thought for your flesh. Now, don't go overboard and say, well, it doesn't, you know, we can throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak, right? I mean, obviously we got to take care of things and do things, but so many times we are so concerned with a whole bunch of stuff that God says he'll take care of. God says he'll take care of. You know, this whole sermon is so pertinent to the day that we live in. I mean, they're already talking. I saw a thing yesterday, you know, Procter & Gamble stepping up their production of toilet paper because people are starting to hoard it again. So you know, as soon as you get out of here, you better run to Stater. Okay. Get your toilet paper. But, you know, people are so unsure of everything. And there's a lot of fear. And we're not supposed to have that fear. You know, what did Solomon write? Fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. Just fear God. Nothing else. Take no thought for your life. And then he says, you know what? Okay, you don't want to listen to me. You don't want to learn from me. Then he says, learn from nature. He says, look, behold the fowls. Behold the fowls. He says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. The fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor do they gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, you know what? If you won't learn from me, learn from my creation. The birds, they don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store. But they are provided for, aren't they? You know how many birds there are? Good grief, right? Are you kidding me? I wish there was a few less around my house. Pigeons and crows and... Man, I don't know what Victorville's got these ravens that are like this big. They're like turkey size, you know? And really? You know? And you know what? I don't put food out for them, and they stay there. You know, they're there, and they're eating. Now, my mother-in-law and my wife likes to put bird seed out, and I just can't figure that out. I'm like, really? You really have to bring them here, you know? But the point being, man, there are birds just... And God takes care of them. And God takes care of them. And He says, are you not much better than they are? Do you understand you are God's special creation? He created the birds for us. He created this earth and all that's in it and the universe for us. He created it all. He put Adam and Eve in there and He said, you got dominion over it. It's for you. You tame it. You do what you want. You go and you tame the earth. It is your dominion. He made it all. Had it all in place. Perfect. And then He placed mankind in it and said, it's yours. You have the authority. And then we gave it away. We gave it away with sin. But we are a special creation. We can worship God. We can sing to God. We can praise His name. We can have relationship with Him. The animals, yeah, they do obey Him. At time, you know, you read it in the Scriptures. You know, God prepared a great fish and swallowed Jonah. Or God made a gourd grow over Jonah. You know, I mean, you know, God has control over those things. But only we can worship. Only we can have intimate relationship with Him. Listen. The birds, He says, behold them. You know, the Lord is their maker. He is their owner. He is their master. He is their Lord. But you know what? We're different. Yes, He's all those things. If we choose to serve Him, if we choose Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, you know, He is our maker, He is our owner, and yes, if we're saved, He is our master and our Lord. But you know what else He is? He's our Father. He's our Father, and we are His children. He is our Father, we are His children. Are we not so much more better than they are? And yet we worry about, I mean, really, you know, if you love your children, aren't you, you will go without food before they will, right? That's what we do. We go without food. You give it to them. You make sure they got clothes. You make sure they're taken care of. Then you take care of you. At least responsible parents do. Parents that really do love their children. Are we not so much better than they are? And the birds. But he says, learn from the birds. And then he says, accept the facts. You know, a lot of our stress and a lot of our distraction is about things we cannot change. He says what? In verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, you know, if you're 5'2", you can worry about it all you want. You'll never be 6 feet tall. Okay? It's just that simple. And you can fret about it. You know, you can hang, you know, from a thing. You know, have you tried that, Kathy? Or, no. Kathy's laughing extra hard, you know, because, you know. But, you know, you can hang. You know, you can eat Wheaties or whatever. You know, whatever you think it is that will give you growth, you know. But yeah, and you can ponder it and worry about it and do all this stuff, and you'll get up the next day and measure yourself and you'll be 5'2". How tall are you? 5'2"? I didn't know that. That's, man, funny how God does that. It's just an amazing thing. I mean, you know, I'm 6'2". But I always thought it'd be kind of cool to be like 6'5" or something, you know? Because I was involved in sports, and so I liked sports and all that. And so, but you know what? I grew to be 6'2", and that was it. That's it. And no amount, you know, hair turning gray, no amount of thought's going to change that. Now, you can fake it and dye it, you know, stuff like that, but you can't change it. Hair falls out, can't do anything about that either. I mean, they say you can spend thousands of dollars and, you know, artificially make it so or whatever, but honestly, you can't change it. And yet, how much of our lives are distracted by stuff we can't change? Accept the facts. You are who you are, and you are perfect. God made you just the way He wanted to. Accept that. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just fine. You're the person God created. And He gave you all the attributes and abilities He wanted to carry out the purpose He had for you. Don't lose any sleep over it. Everybody's got different gifts, different attributes, different abilities. It's fine. Accept the facts. We grow as God ordains us to grow. That's it. That's it. Accept it. Fourth, consider the flowers. You know, He told us to look at the birds, but He told us to think about the flowers. Think about the flowers. He says, and why do you take thought, or why are you concerned with raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Consider the flowers. What about flowers? Well, they're pretty frail. You know, especially when you have kids and you have a garden, it's like, get out of my flower bed! You know, because you step on them, they're done. They're done. They're frail. They have short lives. You know, they bloom and then, you know, then you're pulling them out for next year, right? They go in the oven, as the Bible says. But also consider how free from care they are. They're just, They're just there, having a good time, taking in the sun. They don't have care. They don't work to buy clothes, you know, like, or get a job and earn money so that they're purple or green or yellow. I mean, you know, the vast colors. We went to, what was that place we went to? A rose place in Oregon? Some kind of rose place. Was it in Oregon? Yeah. And there was like, man, if you've ever been to this place, there's like a billion different rose bushes. I don't know how many. It's got to be thousands. And they're all in rows and rows and down terraces, and you walk through there. And you can, they even got a little chart. You can see whatever color you want. There's like every color. And there was even one that's black. You know, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And you, how can you improve on that? I mean, when you see these things and they're all bloomed and everything, I mean, man, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And they didn't work, you know, to get that color or to get that, the whole look that they have. They didn't weave. You know, most of us, we work and we buy our clothes, but there's people that actually weave garments and all that. And, of course, all of our garments are made at least on a machine of some sort or whatever. So all that. But they didn't have to do any of that. The flowers just grow, and they're beautiful. God provides for them. God provides for them. And he says, look, even Solomon in all his glory didn't look like this. And I think that's a little, you know, Jesus putting a little thing in there about that. I think it's like, you know what? When we get all dressed up in all that fine stuff, you know, we're kind of seeking to be like the glory of Solomon. What we really ought to be seeking is the wisdom of Solomon. Regardless of how he carried it out, you know, he didn't act out what wisdom he had, but he had the wisdom. He just didn't act upon it. But you know what? Instead of seeking to look like Solomon or, you know, whatever, we ought to seek the wisdom of Solomon. That's worthwhile. And where's that wisdom at? Right here, folks. You want wisdom? Right here. Are you seeking that out? How much time do we spend looking presentable compared to how much time we spend seeking God's face in this word? Something to consider. Now look, I am glad for every one of us that we're all dressed and looking halfway decent here today. Okay? That is a good thing. Okay? But the point being, is this not much more important than that? Is it not? And he says, if God's going to take them, how much more will he clothe you? And then he says, O ye of little faith. Had to bring that up, didn't he? Because when we're all concerned with all these things, God's like, I told you I got this. And Jesus has just got through saying it in verse 25. But we will not learn. We think we know better. I mean, we would never say that, but that's what our actions say. And so God says, okay, you don't believe me? Look at the birds. Think about the flowers. Does not God make way for them? Does not he take care of their needs? O ye of little faith, just got through telling you you're way more valuable than they are. Consider the flowers. So then he just gets right to it in verse 31 through 33. Have faith in the Father. Have faith in the Father. He says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? How shall we get clothed? He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, the Gentiles were without God. Okay, so it's basically talking about anybody without God. Because now, of course, a lot of Gentiles do know God. Okay, but this is before that. And he's making the point, all these things are Gentile. The ones that aren't connected with God yet, they're busy about food and water and clothing and a whole bunch of other stuff to boot. He says, take no thought for these things, because that's what all the people that don't know God do. He says, for your heavenly Father, this is why you shouldn't worry about it. He's given us the reason. This is why you should not be consumed with these things. He says, for your heavenly Father, there's that word Father again. He knows that you have need of these things. God created us. Do you not think He knows you need food? Do you not think He knows you need clothing? Do you not think He knows you need water? He knows. Unbelievers seek these things with great care and anxiety because they are without God in this world. They have to make their way because they don't know anything about God and His provision. They do not understand God's provision. The question I have for us today is, do we? Do we understand God's provision? In faith, we should seek His kingdom and His righteousness. And that's what He, you know, the famous verse, you know, songs are written, you know, with this little verse to Sunday school children. And He says, God knows you need all these things. So seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, now you say, well, He didn't provide for me. Well, let me ask you a question. Were you seeking God and were you seeking His righteousness? Because this is one of those promises where you got to do something for God to fulfill. It's a conditional promise. If you seek God and His righteousness first. See, first. Or is God and His righteousness an afterthought? Or maybe it's not even a thought. All week. But all Sunday, okay, going back to church. But then the rest of the week, oh well, you know, I'm just doing my thing. He says, no, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you know what? All these things will be added to you. All these things will be added to you. We must keep in mind, we're Christians. Do you understand that heaven is our end and holiness is our way? Seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. In other words, be about trying to do what's right. Didn't say be perfect at it. He knows we're going to mess up. But we're to be seeking. We're to be seeking God first. We're to be seeking His righteousness first. And you know what? He will take care of you. He'll meet your needs. So many of the things we seek have nothing to do with God and His kingdom. That's why He said, O ye of little faith. He said, have faith. God knows our needs. Have faith. He knows about it. You know, because we're all quick to say, oh yeah, God knows everything. Well, do you know what? If He knows everything, then He knows what you need. Our problem is we have things that we want that God says you don't need. That's why you don't get them. What we think we need, sometimes God says you don't need that. That's going to be bad for you. Remember Paul? Thorn in the flesh? He had something that really bothered him, and he kept praying, God, take it away. I'm sure he was saying stuff like, I could really serve you if I didn't have this thorn in my flesh. Whatever it was. A lot of people think it was his eyes. A lot of people think some other stuff. But whatever it was, I'm sure he was like, God, I could really serve you. And God goes, nope, not going to do it. Because you need to be dependent upon me. Because He knew Paul's kind of bent towards pride. And this keeps you humble, Paul. That's what you needed. Now, maybe that's not your need, you know, because Paul's need was specific for him. And some of us do need to not have pride. I mean, that's, you know, it's an issue in our lives. A lot of people have pride issues, but a lot of people don't have pride issues, but they got other issues. We all got stuff, okay? And God knows what we need, and He knows the difference between what we need and what we want. The question is, do we know the difference? Paul said, I need to be healed. God said, no, you don't. Now, we would think that would be a need. Isn't that the big deal in our country right now? Avoid being sick at all costs. Is it working? No, not at all. No matter what they've done, it doesn't work. Because it's not in their hands. God knows what you need. You know, I needed to get COVID. That's why I got it. Because you know what? God did a lot of things when I had it in me that would not have happened if I hadn't have had it. Because it humbled me. And it made me see some things. I needed it. I don't know how else He would have accomplished it. And He knew that. Because He's God. Trust Him. Trust Him. Do we seek the things of God more than our own things? That's really what that verse is about. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added on to you. But I, you know, listen, every one of us has sought those other things at one point or another. And that was the main thing in our life. I need to make more money so I can get a bigger house or, you know, whatever. Okay? Got to do all these things. And listen, there's nothing wrong with being blessed by God. There's plenty of people that are blessed. And I mean, all of us have different amounts of wealth, different amounts of health, you know, all the different things. That's God ordained. You know, He allows these things. And He's a good God. And sometimes He chooses to bless some people more than others when it comes to material things. It's okay. It's not a sin. But if you're out there pushing for it at the expense of your relationship with God, you've got a problem. Because now He's not first. Verse 34. Take no thought for your flesh. Behold the fowls. Accept the facts. Consider the flowers. Have faith in the Father. And you know what? Take no thought for the future. Boy, that's one of our big deals, isn't it? What's my future going to be? Well, number one, remember the other point? You can't add any to your stature. You can't add any more days. He's got your days. The Bible tells us our days are numbered. Whatever they might be. Take no thought for the future. He just said all these things. He says, have you no faith? You know, what about the birds? What about the flowers? All these things the heathen basically seek after. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added to you. And He says, therefore, take no thought for tomorrow, the future. You know, a lot of people wrapped up in what's going to happen tomorrow. A lot of people. Now, this does not mean, listen, God gave us a brain. You know, if the rent is due in 3 weeks, you need to prepare to pay the rent if you got to save some money each week, you know. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about taking things that may or may not happen. You know the rent's coming, okay? Or the house payment or the, you know, whatever it is you got going, you know that's coming. But you know what? We burn a lot of energy on stuff that never happens. A lot of stuff that never happens. Every day has its share of care and problems. He says, take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, today, is the evil thereof. You don't even know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. But you're alive today. and there's stuff going on today that needs our attention. Every day has its share of care and problems. Doesn't it? Doesn't it? Every day. Every day has something going on. Sometimes it's very minor. Sometimes you get a phone call. And it's not minor anymore. Right? We've all probably been through those kind of days. But understand this. Every day also comes with its share of strength and provision from God. Every day comes with its strength, its share of strength and provision from God. What he's saying here is, don't use up today's strength and provision for tomorrow's problems. Tomorrow's got its own set. Don't use up today's strength and provision on tomorrow's problems. This is not being about prepared. This is about being distracted, disquieted today about a difficulty or a calamity that may never happen. Oh, I better do this and this and this because, you know, a car might fly off the road and go through my patio, so I got to build a wall, you know. Well, yeah, it could happen, but, I mean, has it ever happened to you? I mean, you read about it once in a while, but, you know, there's like 7 billion people on the planet, and it happens to 2 or 3. So am I really going to worry about that? And if it does, that means it happens that day, and God will give me the strength and provision that day for it. That's what this is talking about. Because we get distracted and disquieted about a difficulty or a calamity that may never happen. And it saps the strength and peace and faith that you had for today. It saps it. Because you're so caught up in that today overwhelms you. Jesus is saying, that's not how I intended for you to live. I did not intend for you to live this way. Where is your faith? That's why he says, oh, you of little faith. Do you not know God knows? We should not accumulate burdens by anticipating trouble. Our daily prayers enable us to gain strength for today so that none of the things of the future will move us. You know, I remember years ago, we were living up here, but it was like in the 90s, I think, 80s or 90s, before we went to New Mexico. I remember we wrote our tithe check, and I think it left about $20 in the checking account for the week, and we hadn't bought groceries yet. I paid the bills and wrote tithe check, and I remember Deb goes, I don't know if she remembers this or not, but she asked me. Yeah, why'd you bring me up, right? You know, okay. Because you were there. But, you know, she asked me, what are we going to do for food? I mean, we had 3 teenage boys, okay? And if you know what that equates to, and you know my size, I was like no light either, you know. And she goes, what are we going to do for food? And I said, do we have enough for tomorrow? Because this was Sunday. I said, do we have enough for tomorrow? She goes, yeah. And I said, well, then we don't need anything. Now, I'm really uncertain how the week is going to play out, but I came across real spiritual, you know. And I won't say that I've never had doubts, okay? Because I'm like, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, but we got food for tomorrow. So that was all I had, you know. That was all I could say. And so, okay, we got food for tomorrow. Because, I mean, you know, we're talking, when those kids would eat breakfast, it was like box of cereal gone, gallon of milk gone. I mean, you know, and still in the cupboard looking for more. I mean, you know, it's crazy. And so anyway, I was all spiritual. Yeah, well, you know, we got enough for tomorrow. We don't need anything till Tuesday. And I have to admit, I went to work, and I'm working that day, and I'm thinking, I don't know what we're going to be eating this week. It's going to be, see, there was some stuff in the cupboard, but it's like stuff I don't want to eat, there's all that green stuff and, all that kind of stuff. But, we would have survived, but that would have been a really rough week, especially for me. But I was thinking about it, but, there's nothing you could do. So I go to work that day, and, so I come home from work, and a neighbor up the street said, had come to the house, wanted to know if I would work on their stove. On that very day, that very Monday, and I went over there and fixed the stove, and they gave me like $70, I think it was. Of course, $70 went further in 1989 or 90 or whenever it was, and it does now. But you know what? It was $70, and you know what? It was enough. It got us to Friday. Because back in those days, I got paid every Friday. And it was enough. And, we weren't eating steak, but we were eating, got some macaroni and hamburger, Those blue boxes of, Macaroni Surprise, we called it, because it was a surprise when we didn't have that for dinner. But, it's just... we ate, and we had milk, and we had cereal, and we had macaroni, and we had hamburger, and maybe some chicken or something. I don't know, but you know what? God provided. But it was faith. We sought first. I'm not trying to pet. Listen, I was full of doubt. I was growing. But you know what? We put God first. We had made a commitment. We were going to tithe, and we did, and it drained us. But God knew that, and we put Him first, and you know what? He came through. He really did. A lot of people don't ever get a miracle because they never place themselves in a position to receive one. You're too busy working real hard not to need one. Now, we need to do our due diligence and do what's right and, whatever, but when it's beyond your control... and all you got left's the Lord. I mean, and He knows your whole situation. He really does. Trust Him. Have faith. God knows your needs. Take no thought for the future, because it saps your strength. It saps your peace. And it causes you to doubt your faith. That's how Satan attacked Eve, remember? Did God really say? Did God really say that you would die? Really? I tell you, you will not die. And he's saying the same thing. Did God really say He provide your needs? Well, no, you need that. He wants you to do it. Well, we do have responsibility to do the things we're supposed to do, but when things are spiraling out, trust Him. Do you seek God first? I know my pattern for many, many years was I did everything in my power first, and then when none of that worked, then I sought God. But the Bible says seek Him first. We get it backwards, and then we wonder why we worry and why we're distracted, because we don't seek Him first. Our daily prayers enable us to gain the strength for today, that none of these things in the future will move us. Let us mind present duty and leave the events of the future to God. He's the one that holds the future, not us. In this passage, Jesus three times tells us, take no thought. Don't be distracted. Don't be upset. Don't be full of doubt. Three times. The adversary, Now, what's our adversary? Well, it's Satan, but it's also the world, and it is our own flesh as well. Uses the cares of this world to distract us, to disquiet us, and cause us to be unsettled and doubtful. He wants to erode our faith. Jesus is showing us how hypocritical. What has he been saying in this whole chapter? Don't be as the hypocrites. Don't be as the hypocrites. Over and over again, don't be like the hypocrites. Do we understand how hypocritical it is to say we have faith in the Lord while at the same time not trusting Him for even the barest necessities of life? Oh, God's all powerful, He's all everything, but I got to do all this or I'm not going to eat. We are trusting in the Lord for our eternity. You know, heaven and hell. We're trusting in Him that we're going to go to heaven. We're trusting in Him that we're not going to go to hell forever because of what Jesus did. We're trusting Him with all that. So let's also trust Him with our life here on earth. My goodness, if I can trust Him with my eternity, I ought to be able to trust Him with the 60, 70, 80, whatever years I got here. You know, whatever God so ordains. How? By seeking His kingdom first and trusting God for the rest. Just trust Him for the rest. Now, that doesn't mean be foolish. Use the wisdom that God gave you, the brain that God gave you, but where is your trust? That is the key. Where's your faith? Is it in what you can do or is it in what He can do? That's a faith that God can use and bless. You want to have a miracle in your life? Step out there where the miracles are to be had. It doesn't mean foolishly step out. It means step out in faith. Step out and do what you know you're supposed to do, seeking God and His kingdom first. The responsibilities that we know we have, God-ordained responsibilities. You know, in the Bible, it talks about the responsibilities of parents to their kids and things like that. We know that. So as still seeking His kingdom first, that's His Word. So you do the things you know you're supposed to do. And if stuff is happening that's beyond your, then you just got to trust Him for it. Sometimes that's just the hardest thing to do, you know? It's kind of like sometimes I'm on the freeway. My wife loves this when I have a shortcut. Because, you know, doing the job that I had for so many years, I virtually knew every road there was in Southern California almost. And I always knew a way around or whatever. And sometimes it was actually longer, but just the fact that I was moving made me happier. You know, I just didn't want to be sitting on the freeway stuck in the pass for 3 hours. I'd rather be stuck in the mountains going 5 miles an hour, you know, going on one of those crazy roads I used to drive on once in a while, you know. I'd rather be, even though it took me longer, you know, at least I was moving. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to be still and know that He is God. And sometimes that's exactly what God says we need. We need to be still and just trust Him and let Him work it out instead of us running around doing all this work, driving on roads He never intended us to go on to get to the same place we could have got to a lot easier. It's really hard to be still sometimes. But that's where the faith is. That's what takes faith. Sometimes the thing you got to do is nothing. And wait on God to work in your situation. And look for Him in the middle of it. There may be someone here that you don't know the Lord. You've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let me tell you something. You need to be concerned about the future. That is the one thing about the future every person needs to be concerned with. But the beauty of it is God has already solved your problem. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He's already made the place for you in His heavenly kingdom. He's already made a way for you to go there through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But if you have never made that decision, you should be very concerned about your future. Because hell is not where you want to be. Hell is real. And God never intended you to go there. But He made a way through His Son, through the shed blood of Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." So you can't get there any other way. And if you have never asked God to forgive you based on what Jesus did on the cross, then you should be very concerned about your future. For the rest of us, what are your worries? What are the things that... I guarantee you, some of you here today, something has come into your mind. God has put something in your mind that you've been concerned with, and He's telling you, where's your faith? And you know, there may be 10 things. You might examine your life, and there'd be 10 things going on in your head. Take one of them. Just take one and test God. Trust Him with it. That one thing, just pick one and trust Him with it. Because you know what I found in my life? He takes those small things, and when He works it out and I realize, wow, you know, God really is involved in this, it gives me faith, it builds my faith so I can trust Him for another thing, and then another thing, and then a bigger thing. Now, sometimes we are to do something, and that's called discernment. And God gives us discernment if we're in touch with Him. But I'm just talking about, you know, you already know, those of you that got something in your, you already know right now what it is you've been worrying about, and you know you can't do a thing about it. It's not in your hands. There's nothing you can do, but you're expending a lot of energy, a lot of your strength, a lot of your peace is being destroyed over something you can't do anything with, and God has brought it to your mind. I challenge you today to give it to God. And you know what? You know, we have an altar, and hardly anybody ever comes up here, okay? Just being real. But sometimes people do. And I've gone to altars before, and you've probably done this too. You go up there and you lay it at the feet of Jesus, then when you get up, you pick it up and carry it back with you. You know, whether you physically come out here or you sit there in your chair and you do business with God in your chair, and you say, "Okay, Lord, I know I shouldn't, you know, Lord, I'm going to give it to You." But then when you get up out of that chair, you pick it up and you take it right out there to the parking lot, and you get in your car and you go home and you fret. Stop doing it. It's not what God intended. What are your worries? God's already brought them to you. You already know what you're thinking about right now. Let God have it. Go to Him with it and leave it with Him. That doesn't mean you ignore it. It's just that you're leaving it with Him. You're not going to worry about it anymore. You're not going to be distracted by it. You're not going to let it suck your peace away, your energy away. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Just give it people a chance to... I'm going to give you a chance to just ponder this powerful scripture. Is there anybody here today who would say, "Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I've never done it. And I realize right now, I realize I really do need to do that." And if you're like that, if you want to just slip your hand up, I want to pray for you. I'll not point you out. I'll not make a spectacle of you or anything. I just want to know so I can pray for you. That's all. Anybody like that? For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, some things have come to my mind that God has kind of brought to my mind, and I need prayer about that. It's going to be a step of faith, and I need some prayer. Anybody like that? Just keeping it real general here. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. How many would say, you know what? I kind of have some faith, but I really kind of need more faith. I need my faith to grow. Anybody like that? I need more faith. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I lift these up to you. I pray, Lord, that we would rightly regard our problems and our situations according to your word. Father, I pray for these that raise their hands, Lord, these that shared that they got some things on their mind. You brought it to their mind, and they recognize they need to trust you more in those areas. I pray, Lord, you'd make yourself very real to them right now, that your Spirit would touch them in a mighty way. Father, give us grace as we seek your face this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time as piano plays. It's your time to do business with God. Father, Lord God, we come before you, and Father, just thank you for your love and your care for us, your provision, your strength that you provide each day, Lord. Father, help us all to tap into you more and less into ourselves. And Father, to have our faith in you and less in ourselves, Lord. And Father, I know that when we do that, you will be pleased. Father, help us to indeed seek you first, your kingdom, your righteousness, Lord. May you be pleased each and every day with us, Lord. Father, use us. Work in our hearts, Lord, that we would indeed be impactful for you in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. I pray these things. Amen.